Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. We're talking about freedom. We're in our freedom series. What's the name of this freedom? This series called? The Freedom Series. Freedom Series. Huh? Well, we're just going to call it the Freedom. Yes, freedom. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 6. We talked last week about Jesus. He is our champion. Remember, we talked about the good guys and the bad guys, right? We talked about the Smurfs and Gargamel, right? We talked about Anakin. No, we didn't talk about Anakin. We talked about Luke and Darth Vader, all the good stories. We love the good stories of good versus evil because they're our story. There is an epic story of good versus evil going on in our world, right? All you have to do is flip on the news and know that we are just be around your coworkers, right? That we know there is an epic battle for people, right? And we said that we need to make sure that we know God is good and the devil is bad. Amen? And so, and we talked about, like, who was the hero of our story? And we talked about the hero is not me, right? Like in the story of David and Goliath, the whole David and Goliath, you're not David. Jesus is David. He has defeated your Goliath. So you get the spoils of the victory, right? Because of what Jesus did. So he is your champion. So I want to read this scripture in light of that, Isaiah 42, verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Let's personalize this. Take your religious glasses off, right? Yeah, I've heard all this stuff before. Take them off. This is for you, right? I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to be a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Skipping down to verse 13, listen who your hero is. The Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. He will shout and raise the battle cry, and he will triumph over his enemies. We're talking about our hero, Jesus, right? So when we talk about who our hero is, it is always God. God is always our rescuer. So when we talk about freedom and we talk about things that happen to us, right? I was watching a video and it was all of the things. I'll step in my nerd shoes for a minute. You just humor me. I was watching the video of all the negative and whiny things that C-3PO said in Star Wars series. Wow. Well, I guess it was my lot in life to suffer, right? And all of those things that he says about himself and about the other, we're doomed. How many times does C-3PO say we're doomed? How many of we say we're doomed? It's my lot in life to suffer, right? Or we say silly little things like, it's God's will that this terrible thing just happened to me to teach me a lesson about blah, 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 blah. Like, wow. Wow. So this idea that we need to have a clear understanding, good God, bad devil. I want us to be on the same page about all of these things. God is good. The devil is bad, right? John 10:10 says it perfectly. It says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So in your life, how do you know what's God and what's the enemy? In your life, what is being stolen from in your life? Where is death trying to creep its ugly head into your mental, into your marriage, into the lives of your kids? Where is death trying to creep into those things, right? We have an enemy, and the enemy's been named. Where is destruction coming to your world? Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the thief. That's the enemy. That's our adversary. That is the enemy. That is the villain of our story. Has come to bring death, right? But Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So it's this age-old story. It's not rocket surgery. It's not rocket science, right? Let it sit. It's the idea that God is good and wanting to bless, and the enemy is over here not over here on this side. Sorry, guys. Yeah, y'all picked the right side this morning. But God says, but the enemy says, death, destruction, right? Where is the enemy trying to destroy your life? The good news is Jesus came to bring salvation. Now this morning, I want to dive into this word, salvation. This word, salvation, means a lot more than what you may have been taught. This word, salvation, is when what we say is this, especially all of our good, you know, evangelical, especially our good, awesome, solid, you know, this is the gospel of salvation, right? You believe on the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. Then that means that you're not going to go to hell, right? Let me submit to you that there's a whole lot more packed into that word than just you're not going to go to hell when you die, right? Or that you're just going to go to heaven when you die, right? This is so much more than just your word, just the word that you've always come to know, and that I'm just going to suffer here until life, until Jesus comes back, and then I'm all good, or until I die, and then me and Jesus are together, right? Jesus didn't say you're going to have life only when you go to heaven. His plan was to bring healing to people's lives. The word salvation, and some of you have heard this, it actually in the Greek is the word sozo. Everybody say sozo. Sozo. This word actually has so much more packed into, as a matter of fact, it's not, I mean, really, in the word itself, is not even, there's not saved means you're going to go to hell when you die, or heaven when you die. No. The actual word means, I mean, saved, delivered, healed, and wholeness. Saved, delivered, healed, and wholeness. Watch this. The woman, how do you know this? I'll show you. The woman, remember the woman with the issue of blood who came up behind in the press behind Jesus, pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She was made well. She was healed. You know what that word is? Sozo. That when she was healed, the Bible says she was saved, right? Sozoed, made whole. Like some translations, you'll find that. Some say made well. Some of them say made whole or healed. That word is sozo, the same word that we derive the word saved from. Wholeness is a part of the word healing, I mean, or salvation. Jesus came to seek and sozo those who are lost. You remember the guy in the Bible with all the demons? Remember there's this wild story of the pigs and God, Jesus put the demons in the pigs for whatever reason. He did that and they all drowned and then the farmer was mad because he killed all the pigs. Remember that? Crazy story. But this guy was so demonically oppressed. He was cutting himself, right? He lived in the tombs. It was just a disaster. This poor guy, his life is being tormented. Did you know that when the people, they said that the people all around, whenever they ran to tell everybody that this person had been delivered, you know what the word they used was? Sozo. Sozo. The same word we get saved. I mean, the same word that we not get saved. You know what I'm saying? The idea, really, if you break it all down, as I studied, I've heard teaching, and then how many of you know it's good to hear teaching and then go study it yourself? As I've studied it itself, really the idea, the essence of this word, sozo, is to be made whole. Is to be made whole. So how does this play out? See, the enemy comes to seek and make destruction in your life. How does he do that? He does that in two different ways. He does that, and this is kind of people's interpretation of what it, please let's not get a whole doctrine on these things, except the core ideas of it, right? Basically, he comes and he makes prisoners and he makes captives. He makes prisoners, and he takes captives. Now, what's the difference? It's semantics. But the devil will do it in two different ways. He'll cause you, let's see which one to do first, prisoners. You, by allowing different stuff into your life, you can become a prisoner of the enemy. How do you do that? unrepentant sin in your life. Unforgiveness is, let me just say, bigger than you think. Unforgiveness. Just participating in activity. Look, there are two kingdoms. God's called us to live in the kingdom of light. See, I made the kingdom of light your side this time. The kingdom of light. God's called us to live in the kingdom of light, right? Not into the kingdom of darkness. We can allow open doors into our lives when we operate continually in darkness, right? And then, so that's prisoners, so captives. Captives, if you think about it like this, these are people, like people who are taken captive during wartime, right? They're just captives, rounded up, and they've become captive. Sometimes, other people can say, do, and act in ways that causes false beliefs in you, and you become captive to those false beliefs, those things that are untrue. And that's how the enemy works in all of these things. And then what happens is those things, they create what we call wounds in our, in us. Wounds in us. And if you know anything about wounds, and I'll give you some illustrations in a minute, but let me just say it out and then we'll talk about it. When you have a wound, like my, right now, I have done something to my shoulder. I have done something to my shoulder, and like when I move it like this, I can feel the little, I need to see somebody. But what do I do? And when I move it a certain way, it hurts. So you know what I don't do? I don't move it a certain way. And actually, it's kind of ever-evolving. Like, I thought it didn't hurt when I did. No, now it hurts. All that kind of stuff. Right? So something's going on in my shoulder. And watch this. I'll do whatever it takes not to be hurt by it. I'm not going to move my arm that will cause hurt. The same way is wounds and things in our own hearts. Things that happen to us in our own hearts. Maybe it was a person. Maybe it was something you have done. Maybe it's just the enemy's lies in your head and you've agreed with those lies. And you've created, there's been a wound or something in your own life. Because, listen, they did that to me. I'll never let anybody ever do that to me again. What does that mean? I'll never let anybody into my life ever again because of what that person did. Right? And remember, we're called into unity. God wants a family of believers. I did this, like the church, here's the people. That was amazing. That was just the Holy Spirit right there. Follow me? So how does that look? Let me just be personal for a second. So I'm, and some of you have heard this story, but I want to take it to a little bit different place today. So, and if you listen to me long enough, you'll hear the same stories over and over and over again. It's only me, only in one life. But part of my story is that my dad died when I was 16 years old in a very traumatic kind of way. I watched him die in our home of a heart attack. I hear my mom in my head screaming at my dad to wake up and all of the trauma, all the terrible things, right, that meant. And I was 16 years old when that happened. And I remember, let me tell the story. So that happened. Fast forward, and me and Julie are probably married maybe 10 years at that point. And I'm out in the yard, and I was trying to fix this little light, and one of those little lights that shine up on your house and shine on your garden, landscape lights, yeah. And I'm actually trying to fix this thing because it was broken, and I was trying to shore it up a little bit. And as I was trying to fix it, some of you guys can relate. I actually broke it worse, to where it was unusable. Right? So what did I do? Wow, that's terrible. No, that's not what I did at all. Right beside that landscape light, we have this brick little wall thing that was right near it. So I grabbed it, and I took it, and I yanked out, and it was corded. So I yanked out all the cord in the wall, and I slung it against the thing, and it shattered into a million pieces. God felt great in that moment, let me just say. And all of a sudden, like, this thing came over me. And that anger, let me just say, anger doesn't just happen in a vacuum. Anger, especially, usually there's something attached to that anger. And so I felt like the Holy Spirit said this, change my life. He said, ask me what that was all about. I thought you left me whenever I got angry and threw this all away. That's not true. So I said, okay, I'm in. Holy Spirit, what was that all about? He said, your dad died when you were 16 years old. And he never really taught you the things to be a man and fixing things and all of that stuff. And so when it broke, that triggered the thing inside of you that said you don't have what it takes and you're not good enough. And so you believe the lie that you weren't good enough. Back part of that is when my dad died. I remember, you know, the toughest times when somebody passes away is not the time at the funeral. It's usually about a week later when everybody's gone and you're in the reality of what happened, right? So I'm in that reality, and only me and my mom are living in the house at that time. Both my sisters were off at school. And so I, as a 16-year-old boy, am just devastated. My dad's gone. And I remember going into the thing, and I asked a simple question to my mom, who was also very grieving, obviously. I said, Mom, why did God allow Dad to die? And she snapped at me in anger. And she goes, I don't know. I'm asking the same question. He goes, why don't you go ask him? And in that moment, there was something that hit me on the inside that said, you're alone. Your mom's not available for you. You're all alone. And you'll have to look out for yourself. And you know what? As a 16-year-old boy, I believed that lie. Was my mom mean? Was my mom? No, she was grieving. Did my mom know what she was doing? No. Do I blame my mom? No. I have one enemy. And it's the devil. He spoke a lie in a moment of weakness in my own life that caused me to say, I'm all alone. I don't have what it takes. And if anybody's going to have to be able to take care of it, it's going to have to be me. And I feel unqualified to even do it. You know how that wrecks you? That infiltrates every part of your life. That infiltrates me to be the man of God in my home that I need to be. It infiltrates me as a husband to be the man of God that my wife needs me to be. And so then, watch this. So then, watch how the devil works. All of a sudden, I start going into ministry, start doing ministry. Well, guess what? When the ministry's going good, I do good. When the ministry's not going good, I tank. Because that question's not answered. So guys, listen. We think the demonic is some like wild, crazy, you know, the drug addicts, all the extreme stuff. No, no, no. He's much more crafty than that. This whole thing. And if we don't get this down, we'll miss all of it. The key to freedom for the person struggling with anger is not just stop being angry. Stop it. Well, I have this activity. I keep doing this. Stop it. Wow, that's worked for the church, hasn't it? Or come up to prayer and I'll just pray it away. And you'll never deal with it ever again. We've been sold a line of goods. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes healing, physical healing, is instantaneous. Sometimes God works healing in us. So you know what I've learned to do? What I tell you almost every single Sunday, I invite the Holy Spirit in. So what happens now? Now, when I go to try to fix something, can you imagine? Oh, watch this. So my wife grew up, and her dad, now watch how the devil works. Her dad did every mechanic. They never called anybody to fix stuff. Her dad fixed like everything. So what is her expectations of me? Do you see how the enemy moves and works? It causes friction. Her love language is acts of service. I ain't got no acts or service in me. And when I try, I'll break it, and then that just, right? So this is what you do. You go to work on something. And let me just say, I just press through. There is a part of you that says, I'm going to do it anyway. Do it afraid. But also, I invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just think, this is crazy. I can't believe it. Yeah, this is what the Holy Spirit does. He's a counselor, by the way. And so now, what do? I invite the presence of the Holy Spirit into my life when I go to do a job or something. During that time, I would invite God. God, you're going to father. Watch this. The terminology I would use. God, you're going to father me through this because you are my father. You know how all this stuff works. You're my father. So every time I go to try to install a ceiling fan. The first thing that would hit me before was like this thought, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to electrocute. I'm going to burn the whole house down. But I asked, watch this. I asked, Father God, I want you to father me through this. So when something goes wrong, I don't melt down. Come on. I don't go into this place of worthlessness and you can't do it. Because let me just tell you, everybody has something go wrong when they're putting a ceiling fan up. And if you ever done it, I'm glad you're still saved. Amen? Because you're trying to hold the thing up while you're trying to wire the thing. I need an octopus to help me do all this stuff. Yeah, pray in tongues so you don't cuss, right? That's sort of true. But what do? I invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I refuse that lie that I'm not good enough. Come on. I refuse that lie that I don't have what it takes. I have what it takes because, God, you're with me and I watched YouTube. Amen? Come on. Now, let me just tell you where I'm at now. Now, there's just about nothing. I'm not afraid. My son had a starter go out on his car. Yeah. Guess who did that? Me and my son, with Mike telling me how to do it, crawling under my car, taking out the starter and putting a new starter in. Do you know what kind of breakthrough that is for somebody like me? Do you know what kind of breakthrough it is where I am not bound by fear? I am not bound by what the devil says about me. I am only concerned about what God says about me. And God is the one. God, it's God who says who I am. It's not the lies of the enemy who says who I am. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And it becomes a time where it's not just preach. It's actively worked out in my life. And you know what's great about it? You know what's great about it? Actually, the overcoming it is okay. The greatest part about it is I got to know God in a way I never got to know God. I got to know God as a father like some people will never know God as a father. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Binding up her wounds. Let's just read that scripture. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, talking about Jesus. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Watch this. Proclaim freedom to the captives and release of darkness from the prisoners. God wants to heal you. He wants to bring you deliverance from the captive that the enemy has spoken lies about you and you've believed those lies and it's held you captive. People have done things to you, you refuse to forgive them, and now you're a prisoner to that event. God wants to heal us and make us whole. Because I'm convinced that the devil doesn't really give a rip what it is. All he wants, listen carefully, he wants control. He wants control. If I can control him, if I can keep him, because Jesus says that I'm predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. I am predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. That means that I can be like him. That means that because God is my Father, and he's the one who speaks truth over me, then what other people say is whatever. What other people did to me in the past is whatever, because that doesn't define me. Because probably they're dealing with some wounds on them that they've passed through to other people. I believe the time, as it becomes more dark in our world, the more, you want to know why things are up in upheaval? And this is why I'm convinced that you can blame government, you can blame all the other things all you want. But what we're dealing with is wounded people wounding people. That's what we're dealing with. And the answer is still the blood of Jesus, who comes to save, deliver, and heal. He's come to sozo the world, to bring wholeness and healing to places that are broken. Not just to say, oh my gosh, can I be so bold and say, what a lie of the enemy that all saved being saved is that you don't have to go to hell when you die. There's so much more. God wants to walk you through all of your hurts, wounds, and let me tell you, you're going to come out the other side stronger than ever before, more confident in who you are in God, and have a relationship with God that you always dreamed about. Because if God be for me, that song, it said, not for a minute was I forsaken. Not for a minute. Do you feel forsaken? Forsaken.